How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Glory to God. Wonderful. Boy, I tell you, there's so many truths in that song. I could just go ahead and take what I was going to preach, set aside, and just preach on that song. And I'm telling you, what an incredible truth. That God would love you and I so much that He would take all of our sins of the past, of the present, and all the sins of the future and put them on Jesus Christ and pay for them once for all time. And that when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're saved once for all time. What a great truth that is. And what a satisfying truth that is this morning. Take your Bible, if you would, join me in two passages of Scripture, John chapter 6 and John chapter number 14. John chapter 6 and John chapter number 14. Would you stand together with me as we read these passages of Scripture? John chapter 6, and begin reading in verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall, circle these next two words, never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall, here's two more words to circle, never thirst. Look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in, here's another phrase, no wise cast out. Look down in verse number 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, I don't know about you, but just in those few things right there, I'm pumped up already, aren't you? Never thirst, never hunger, will not be cast out, and in the last day, I'm going to be raised back to life. Again, what a wonderful life that Jesus Christ brings. Now look, if you would, in John chapter 14. John chapter number 14, and I want you to look at verse number 12. Jesus speaking again, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do. That's the believer also. But wait a minute. Now look at this. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, he's not talking about that we're going to do any great miracles. But he says, you know, the longevity of your ministry will be much longer than the 3.5 year ministry Jesus had. He said, greater works that he will do because I go to my Father. Now, don't turn there, but let me read you one verse out of 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11. The Scripture says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And this life, what life? The no thirsty life. The no hungry life. The not being cast out life. The being raised in the last day to be forever with the Lord life. That life is a wonderful life. Matter of fact, it's the greatest life on earth. It's the greatest life on earth. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Christianity, being a believer, it's the greatest life on earth. Father, meet with us now in the short period that we have. Would you encourage us from the Bible? And we'll give all the glory and praise for what you should do in our hearts today. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. And you can be seated. How many of you have ever been to a circus? Ever been to a circus? Oh man, you're missing out. Well, we got a few people here this morning that has been to a circus before. And by the way, I'm not talking about the circus you go home to every day. I'm talking about a real circus, all right? I'm talking about a place where you can go and, you know, very few people have an opportunity to maybe even attend a circus. But I've been to a few in my lifetime. And, you know, I remember all the exciting things that went on there. Matter of fact, my favorite one was Ringling Brothers. Now, you say, why was Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey, the circus, the best out of all? Why did you like that one over all of them? Because they had a motto. Remember what that motto was? And by the way, that motto still is. That motto is that they have the greatest show on earth. That they have the greatest presentation of the circus on planet earth. Now, you know why they did that, folks? They were able to make that claim not because of any little things that they have done, but because, you know what? They had the funniest clowns. They had the most thrilling acts. They had the best in the circus business working for them. That's the reason they could claim they had the greatest show on earth, because they had everything working for them at its highest level. You see, at a circus during a performance, the circus would take the crowds to the edge of danger. Remember that? Remember when you used to watch the lions and the tigers? They'd come out, and the guy with the whip, and he's got the chair, and man, people go, ooh, oh, and the little kids were crying. You know what? Because they would take you right to the edge of danger. The suspense was incredible, wasn't it? But not only would they would take you up to the height of excitement. Ladies and gentlemen, give me your attention. Look up to the top of the big tat tonight. And boy, you'd see a guy walking on a unicycle going across a tight wire. And you're thinking, man, how does he do that? Then a guy would walk across there, and then you got trapeze. Everybody's going, ooh, wow, man, this is incredible. Listen, they would get you excited. They would take you right to the edge of danger, and the next thing they'd do, ladies and gentlemen, give your attention to ring number 3. And man, you got clowns coming around, and they're doing all this, and everybody starts laughing now, right? We were crying just a minute ago. Now listen to me. You know why Ringling Brothers are still going today? Because they understand how to keep the greatest show on earth the greatest show on earth. They understood what's required in keeping their momentum. You see, you'd be taken through numerous emotions. And by the way, if you remember when you went, by the time that you left the circus, you felt exhausted, but you were pumped up, right? Matter of fact, come on guys, help me out. You did the same thing that I did when I went home. I tried some of these things, didn't you? I used to take my two little sisters and get a whip and they're back. Now listen, I did that one time. My sister attacked me. Scratched me on the face. I didn't do that one anymore. I threw that show out. But listen, the circus presented, listen now, such a thrilling performance and made such a lasting impression on you. And here's what they hoped you would do. They hoped that you would leave the circus and go tell somebody else about it, right? That's what they wanted you to do. They wanted to pump you up so much that when you left there, yeah, you were exhausted, but not only that you'd go tell somebody, but listen, that you'd come back next year. And you know what they do? They'd whet your appetite. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in this city next year. And next year, we're going to have the greatest show on earth. This is what we're going to be. Everybody's going, yeah, I'm coming back next year because I want to see that guy turn somersaults. I want to see these people balance 1,500 plates on their nose. I want to see that. You see, the circus understood, Ringling Brothers understood what it took to persuade people that they were the greatest show on earth and would come back. You see, what I'm saying to you folks this morning is this. They understood that it took work to become what they became. And matter of fact, it must be still working because they're still going, right? They're still traveling and people are still coming. People are still paying the price to get in. And it's still promoted as the greatest show on earth. Well, can I stop and say something to you this morning? Do you know 2,000 years ago, on a hill outside of Jerusalem stood a hill called Golgotha. And on that hillside 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ purchased redemption for us by His death, burial, and resurrection. It was the greatest life known to a man in the history of the world. And it was the life of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus began Christianity. When He came into this world, died for our sins, saved our soul. And listen, He made it the most incredible, the most exciting life on earth. Hey, I don't know about you. Don't you want to get involved in that? Don't you want to get involved in the greatest life that exists on planet earth today? Hey, the greatest life on earth, it's the Christian life. Nothing compares to it anywhere on the earth. Hey, it's the greatest life known to man in the history of the world. Jesus began it, and Jesus is going to finish it. Oh, that's exciting. You see, the thing that Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey were so successful at, that's kept them in business all these years, was that they understood and they created an excitement about some things. Several things that they were able to do. First of all, they were able to create excitement about what you would get to see when you came to Ringling Brothers. You know, not everybody gets to see elephants every day, right? So everybody goes to see the elephants or the tigers or the clowns or the trapeze acts or all the stunts. Hey, these are just things you can't see every day. So they got you excited about what you could see if you came. But wait a minute. You know what else they did? What else they did is they created an atmosphere that would get you excited about what not only you would see, but what you'd experience. How many of you like those candied apples? You like those candied apples? Like them big old honking smoked turkey legs that you only get when you go to the fair. So you don't get those every day. So people, they would get people pumped up about the experience, the thrills, the food, the candy, pictures. Anybody like me, get your pictures made with the clowns? Get your pictures made next to the big strong guy. You got your picture made. Man, that was exciting. Things you didn't get to do every day. So they made it exciting about what you would see, what you would experience. Oh, listen, they made it exciting about what you'd get to do. Man, you'd go there, you'd go to places, exhibits, you'd get your face painted, you know. Get your hair spiked up with a big old point in your head. Hey, they did all of these things. Why? Because of the experience about what you got to do. They had exhibits and games and petting zoos. Or if you're real fortunate, you got to be part of the parade of all the characters that would parade around the arena. You see, they made it exciting about what you'd see and what you'd experience and what you'd do. But wait a minute. They made it so exciting before the show was over. They made it so exciting about what you had to look forward to. Yeah, next year, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have an incredible presentation. We're going to have these folks with us. And everybody's thinking, yeah, I'm coming back next year. Would you allow me for the next few moments that we have to provoke your thoughts for just a moment? Can I say that there is a life greater than the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus presents? Can I say to you this morning that there is a greater experience than going to the circus? I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ bought and purchased for you the greatest life that exists on planet Earth. And the great thing about it, listen to me, is it's free. You don't even have to pay. It's totally free. All you got to do is put your faith and trust in Christ and you get a free ticket. No purchase necessary. Just simple childlike faith in Christ as Savior. Anybody can afford that? Everybody can afford free? Oh yeah, everybody can afford free, right? All we got to do is put your faith and trust in Christ. Would you allow me for just the next few moments to promote Jesus for a little bit? And promote the greatest life on earth that exists to mankind? I want to say, first of all, in my promotion pitch about the greatest life on earth, it is great because of what you get to experience. It's great because of what you get to experience. You say, like what? Well, first of all, how about forgiveness of sins, past, present, future? Is that good? Hey, how about Jesus Christ, once saved, always saved? How about that? Is that good? Hey, it's what you get to experience, folks. Hey, as a kid, you know what I was pumped up? I'd go to school and tell all my friends, I'm going to the circus tonight. Don't be touching me. Going to the circus. Hey, when I got there, I'd eat my turkey leg and I'd eat my candy apple and I'd get my face painted. I want to do everything. Why? Because I wanted the experience. I'm here to tell you there's something greater than going to the circus. And you know what? You can experience that this morning. It's free. It's great because of what you get to experience. Complete forgiveness of sins. Hey, wait a minute. You say, well, preacher, what if I mess up? I got something for you. You say, what if I mess up and I stray away from God? Here's the good news. According to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Listen now. Oh, listen. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, the good thing is that after I get born into the family of God, if I stray away, I have an avenue to come back to the Father. Not to be saved again, but to be renewed and refreshed and have fellowship restored. Oh man, it's great because of what you get to experience. Peace with God according to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Hey, let me tell you something else that you get to experience. A whole new network of friends. Now listen, most of you say, I don't have any friends. Let me introduce you to a bunch right here. Okay? There's a bunch of people out here who want to be your friend. You know what they want? They want to encourage you. You know what they want to do? They want to motivate you. You're not going to find a true friend out in the world. Most of them out there, what they're looking for is what they can get from you. Amen. Not what they can give to you. Hey, you are introduced to an entire network of friends. You know what they're called? Believers. Believers. A whole new network that can encourage you, comfort you. They can love you for Christ's sake. They're like-minded. They want to help and support you. I don't know about you folks. I want the experience. Man, when I went to the circus, I wanted everything I could get. I wanted to go see everything I could see. I wanted to experience everything I could experience. And boy, you come to Christ. And as a believer this morning, hey, we've got peace with God. We're introduced to a new family network of believers. But you know, also you get to have a spiritual relationship with your God. Man, that's exciting. I can tell everybody's pumped up about it. You can have a spiritual relationship with God. Hey, you're no longer the enemy of God. You're part of the family. You've got an inheritance, incorruptible, immortal in the heavens. What an experience. Man, life, you get to pray, make contact with God. Hey, listen, you can read the Bible now with a little bit of understanding of what you're reading because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. You can receive the instruction of the Scripture. You can receive wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Hey, listen, you now, because when the Spirit of God comes in, you now have the ability to actually do some right. Without Christ, you have no ability. Hey, folks, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about it's the greatest life on earth. And the reason it's great is because of what you get to experience. But it's great because of what you get to see. You know, when I was lost without God, I saw a lot of things. A lot of things I didn't want to see. But man, I tell you, when I got saved, got born into the family of God, I got to see some things I never thought I'd get to see. You say, like what, preacher? Well, first of all, I got to see things the way God sees them. You see, when I was lost, the only person I saw things from was from my perspective. And usually when I see things from my perspective, I'm always mully-grubbing, always complaining, always critical. Well, God doesn't love me, or God doesn't hear me, or God doesn't do this. You know why? That's the attitude of a lost person. That's what I was. I was critical. My language before God, I was always pointing fingers at God. But I'm telling you, when I got born again, amazing. It became the greatest life, not just because of what I could experience, but what I've got to see. I've got to see people as lost souls, sheep having no shepherd. Do you know, before salvation, I didn't give a rip about people. Come on, help me out. Neither did you. You didn't give a rip about anybody's soul. You never thought about somebody dying and going to hell. You never thought about that at all. I tell you what you did think about. You thought about yourself, though, didn't you? You thought about how much money you could put in your wallet, how nice car you could have, or what kind of house you could live in. Now listen, I don't think any of that stuff's wrong. I'm just saying that your perspective was totally messed up, just like mine was. But when I got saved, I began to see things as God sees them. Not only did I see people as lost souls. Hey, listen, I saw what sin does to people now. I didn't realize it when I was lost. But after I got saved, I thought, man, sin's tearing people up. It's tearing lives up. It's destroying people. It's sending people to hell. You see, I got to see things like God sees them. I saw the destruction of sin. I saw the love for souls. But you know something? I also got to see joy for people I was a new Christian. People that had been saved a while, still loving and rejoicing in the Lord. And you know what? You know what motivated me, folks? I began to think, that's what I want to be right there. I didn't want to be what I was when I was lost. I wanted to be like the people running around that were joyful and excited and always talked about. Listen, instead of talking about somebody else, they always talked about Jesus or the people that they had an opportunity to win to Christ. That's the people that I want to be around. You see, it's great because not what just you can experience, but what you can see. You get to see things as God sees them. Hey, you get to see God work in your life. You know, when I was lost, God wasn't working in my life. I got saved and all of a sudden He began to work things. He began to give me things and do things for me. And kept thinking, man, is that God doing that for me? You talk about little old lost me that was lost for 23 years and now a thrice holy God actually knows where I am and who I am and He's doing this for me? Hey, you get to see God work in your life. You get to see answered prayer. You get to see God provide for your needs. Oh, by the way, you get to see God provide in time of trouble too. I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many times has God come through for you in time of trouble? Probably more than once, right? Now, what did you think about when God came through? Did you think, glory to God? You see, you don't get to see that as a lost person. You don't get to see that as a backslidden person. But what you do get to see when you're walking with God, you've got a relationship with God. Listen, it's a great life because of what you get to see. You get to see God work in your life. Hey, listen, you get to see God protect your family from Satan's wicked plans. I love it. I love it when I see God do some things and thwart the plan of the devil. And you know what I think? Glory to God. Hold him there, Lord. Let me... I don't know about you folks, but there's coming a day I hope the Lord holds Satan in place so I can take this number 10 shoe and I can just rear back and kick his tail as far as I can kick him. Do you say, well, preacher, we shouldn't feel that way? Well, let me tell you something. You've never met the one I've met then. You've never seen him tear families up like I've seen. You've never seen him bust marriages up and destroy lives and get people on drugs and alcohol and promiscuity. You've never seen that like I've seen that. Let me tell you something. The day that you do, you know what you want to do? You want to take that shoe too. Because he's destroying lives. You see, when you get saved, the Christian life, you get to see the work of God in your life. Hey, you get to see God's purpose for your life. Do you know God has a purpose for you? You're not just, listen, you're not just here to breathe air. That's not what you're here for, folks. God created you for a purpose. He created you for His will. There's a reason why He allows you to go through what you've gone through. There's a reason. There's a reason He's trying to work things in your life and you get to see God, His purpose for your life. Listen, if God had not put me through some of the trials that I've been through in my life, I might not get clear and see clear His will or purpose for me. You see, sometimes it requires trials and tribulations and testing of your faith. Sometimes it requires that so that you'll say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be. That's what you want from me. He said, yeah, that's what I want right there. And see, sometimes it requires trials and tribulations. You're saying, well, preacher, what's God going to do next in my life? What great things is God going to do, have in store for me? I don't know, but let me tell you something, my friend. It's a great life. I don't know, but whatever it is, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Hey, it's a great life because of what you experience. It's a great life because of what you see. Let me say, thirdly, it's a great life because of what you get to do. Remember what I told you when you go to the circus? I used to love because you loved to go because you had all these things to do. Man, there was food to be eaten. There was candy apples to be licked. Hey, there was clowns to have your pictures made with. There were tears to shed, laughter to have. Listen, by the time I got home, I was exhausted. Because they understood what it was required to produce the greatest show on earth. They would take you to the heights, they'd take you to the lows. They would take you on this roller coaster ride. And you know, life will do that as well. But in the midst of that, as a Christian, it's a great life because of what you get to do. Listen to me. You know what we get to do as a believer this morning? We don't have to. We get to worship God. Yeah. Hey, I wonder how many people are going to come to church this morning and came the same way they left and never experienced any worship whatsoever. They just came this morning for one reason. And that reason was, hey, I just wanted to come and see my buddies. I just want to come and talk to them. Well, listen, get on your stinking phone and talk to them on the phone. When we come to church, folks, we're here to worship God. That's what He wants from us. Hey, as a believer, I'm telling you, it's the greatest life on earth because of what you get to do. Hey, I get to have a right relationship now. Hey, I got the Holy Spirit inside me to guide me and navigate me through this. It's a great life. It's a wonderful life. But we get to worship God. Hey, let me tell you something. We get to come to church. Do you know there are places all over the world that they don't get to go to church? You say, well, they ought to get out of bed and go to church. Folks, there's not one. Do you know that most of the world, what we do is we think most of the world lives like we do. They don't. Most of the world don't have the freedoms that we have. You see, we get to come to church. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I hear people, well, I have to go do this, or I have to go to church, or I have to go teach my Sunday school class. Well, we gotta go. We have to go soul winning. Yeah, I have to pray. I have to, listen to me, you don't have to do anything. But you know what? You should. As a believer, you should do it, but you don't have to. And if you don't, you'll never experience the greatest life on earth. You see, we get to worship. We get to come to church. Oh, listen to this. Now, you're like this one. You get to be an ambassador. Hey, You like that, right? Because there's a title connected with it, ambassador. But let me tell you something. If you're going to be ambassador for Jesus, there's some things that I need to let you know about. First of all, they that live righteously in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's part of being an ambassador. Now listen, the thing about it is we don't like that persecuting part, right? But whoa, we like the title. We like the recognition. And if you're going to be an ambassador for Christ, you're going to have to understand that not only is there persecution that comes, but there's a certain authority that comes with it. You and I are responsible, folks. As a believer, we're responsible for getting the message of Christ around the world. We have a certain authority and responsibility. We've been given a specific message to deliver. You know what an ambassador does? An ambassador delivers the message of the one that's over him, which normally is either a president or some monarch, and they're never to go and speak of themselves. They're always to speak of the one who sent them. I'm just telling you that Ringling Brothers created the atmosphere, but it was the people that promoted it. You see, all Ringling Brothers did is they just made the show the greatest show on earth. But you know who went and promoted it? The people that went, right? The people that participated. They're the ones that went out and told everybody, you got to come see this. These people balanced 500 plates on their chin. And then the little girl climbed up and tap danced on top of them while she's on her chin. It's unbelievable. Now, I don't know if they do that. I'm just saying that, you know what, folks? Isn't it amazing how we'll be so impressed with that kind of stuff and then we'll come to church? You know how I know that? Because I find your fingernails in the pew. Hey, I'm just saying to you, isn't it amazing how we'll go and we're so impressed with things of the world and we come to church and we're unimpressed with the things of God. Hey, it's the greatest life on earth, folks. It's the greatest life because of what you can experience, what you can see, what you can do. Let me wrap this up and say it's the greatest life because of what you have to look forward to. I remember leaving the circus as a kid. I was pumped up next year. Because when you live in Mississippi, they only come around once a year. Yeah, they don't come two or three times. You get one shot at it. And I remember, next year, man, I'm going back. You know what? They created an excitement about what you had to look forward to. They gave you, they whet your appetite on what would be presented next year. Listen, folks, do you understand that in the Scripture, God whets your appetite? About what, as a believer, what you have to look forward to? You say, what do I have to look forward to? How about this? How about being with God forever? Hey, let me tell you something, folks. It's going to be bigger and better than this life. Because one day you're going to experience eternal life. Today you can experience the Christian life. Not only will we spend forever with the Lord, hey, how about a home eternal in the heavens? And God says, hey, here's a kicker. How about a mansion? How about a mansion? How about that? You're like, yeah, a mansion in heaven. You say, preacher, we ought not to be looking for it. We ought to be serving with humility. And say, I don't know about you. I'm looking for a mansion. Hey, I'm looking to be with the Lord. I'm looking for that day. Let me tell you something else you got to look forward to. How about unforgettable Bible characters? You say, preacher, who are you going to be looking for after Jesus? The first one, I'm looking for Adam and Eve. I want them too. Don't you? How'd you like that on your resume? Responsible for this. Two people. Hey, I just want to talk to them and say, listen, how you guys feel? What's on your mind? Just wondering. You say, oh, preacher, we're not going to feel that way because we're going to be incorruptible, immortal. I know. I'm just asking. I want to talk to those two, first of all. Because this whole thing started with them. And I want to just sit there and say, how long are you going to talk to them? I don't know, 10, 12,000 years. I want to get the lowdown, don't you? But there's going to be unforgettable people outside of Jesus. Can you imagine all the born-again believers that you've read about in the Bible? You say, we're going to be with them, preacher? Best I can tell, we are. Hey, you know somebody else I can't wait to see? I want to see that thief on the cross because I want to know how he felt only a couple of hours before hell. That's who I want. I want to talk to him too. How did you feel about that? I don't know. But I tell you one thing. I don't know what came over me, but something came over me and I thought, man, what do I have to lose? I need to get born again. What if he is right? If he's right, I'm on my way to hell. But or if he's wrong, hey, I don't have anything to lose, right? But if he's right, I've got heaven to look forward to. Hey, it's going to be bigger and better. We've got a home eternal. Hey, there's going to be unforgettable Bible people in heaven. But most of all, what we have to look forward to is the Father who created all things. I'd like to talk with him just a little bit and wonder, have you ever wondered why God created a skunk? Come on, come on. How many of you are afraid of snakes? About 95% of you. Maybe you can ask God, Lord, why did you create a snake? Why did you create things that bite? See, you're going to get to see the Father, the Creator of all things. And then you don't have to go far because sitting right at His right hand is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I want to ask Jesus, Lord, would you explain to me how it was when you... Listen, I tell you what, I'm just going to sit back and just start from day one and tell me the whole story. You say, preacher, that's going to take a long time. Hey, folks, that's all I've got's time when I get to heaven. You see, I'm just saying I'm going to get to see the Father, the Creator. I'm going to get to see the Son, the Redeemer. And then I'm going to have to thank the Holy Spirit who instructed me and guided me and helped me and walked me through this. Walked you through what, preacher? The greatest life on earth. You know why it's great? Because of what you get to experience. It's great because of what you get to see. It's a great life because of what you get to do. You get to go represent Christ and tell people about the same Lord and Savior that you trusted. But it's great because of what you have to look forward to. You know, Paul said, if this life is all that we had to look forward to, he said, we are all men most miserable. Folks, let me tell you something. There are some religions that do teach that this is all you get. Now listen, if that's it, I'm terribly disappointed. But I read a Bible that says, no. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It's not a glorified comfort inn. Amen. It's not a hotel. It's not an apartment. The Scripture says it's a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. And Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what he's going to do? He's going to join the greatest life on earth with the greatest life in eternity, all at one time. You say, preacher, when is that going to be? I don't know about you, but you better listen, because the trumpet may sound today, the cry of the archangel may go up, and if we do, we ain't having church tonight. You know why? Because there we shall forever be with the Lord. And can I say this morning, if you don't know Jesus, you're missing out on the greatest life on earth. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around, nobody moving about, please. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to ask. If you're here this morning and you know not Jesus Christ, may I make an appeal to you as a preacher of the gospel of Christ? May I appeal to you and plead with you today, do not leave this building without accepting the Lord and getting involved in the greatest life on earth. And that's the life of a believer. That's the life of knowing, not thinking, not hoping, but knowing that you've been born into the family of God. If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home. If I died where I am right now, I have no guarantee, I have no confidence that heaven would be mine. I've thought about it many times, preacher. And maybe you've even had some fear about dying. Maybe doubt is swarming your soul this morning. And you say, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I cannot honestly say that heaven is my home." It's not that I don't want to go to heaven. I do, preacher. It's just that I don't have that confidence. And you would at least let me pray for you this morning. Nobody's looking but me. And that's you. And you say, "Preacher, that's me." I want you to slip your hand up right now. Nobody's looking but me. Say, "Preacher, pray for me." Just slip it up way up high. Say, "That's me. That's me." God bless you. And you. And you. And you. And you. God bless you. You can slip your hand down. There's five right there. Say, "Preacher, that's me. If I died today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Pray for me." I want you to slip it up high. Listen, folks, we're in church. Let's be honest. God bless you. There's number six right there. And number seven right there. God bless you. You say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died, I'm going to heaven." Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." God bless you. God bless you. You can slip your hands down. Anybody else who joined these six, say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. God bless you. And God bless you." There's seven and eight right there. Anybody else, say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. It's not that I don't want to go. It's just that I just have some questions. I have some doubt. Pray for me." One last time. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody? All right? You can slip your hands down. There might be some here this morning that would say, "Preacher, I'm already saved. I'm already a Christian. I've already trusted Christ as my Savior. But I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know, preacher, it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me? I need to take that step of faith and obey God in believer's baptism after now that I've been born into the family of God. So I've never done that, preacher. After I've gotten saved, pray for me. I've never been baptized." I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, "That's me." Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you and you. Anybody will join these two. Say, "Preacher, that's me." God bless you. There's a third one. You can slip your hand down. Say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure, or I've already been saved but never been baptized. Pray for me. I need to do the right thing." God bless you. There's number four. And there's number five right there. Say, "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me." Anyone else? Just slip it up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? Then let me ask one last thing. I wonder how many believers here this morning would say, "Preacher, I probably haven't been living my life like it was the greatest life on earth. It's great because of a great Savior. It's great because of the Savior that we trust and our eternal destiny. It's great because of what you get to experience and see and do and what you have to look forward to." It's a preacher. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't been living my Christian life like that, like it is the greatest life on earth. Would you pray for me? I need to upgrade. I need to correct some things in my life. I want to live it, preacher, like it's the greatest life on earth. But I'm not right now. And you say, "Pray for me." I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. That's me." Just slip it up. Slip it up. All over. All over. All over. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I'm going to simply ask you this morning that you would fill these altars. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is a place for people to come and lay their burdens and cast their cares upon thee because you care for us. I pray, Father, that at the invitation, those that need to be saved would come. I pray, Lord, that you'd convict them and bring repentance into their heart this morning about their sin, that they might come and put their faith and trust in the one and only, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for those who need to be baptized this morning, not to be saved, but because they're saved. And I pray that they would come at the first note of the invitation, would come and flood these aisles this morning and do the right thing to follow you in believer's baptism as a Christian. And then I pray, Father, for the believers this morning that have been saved and said, Lord, that they haven't been living their life like it was a great life. They haven't been serving you like you were a great God. And I pray tonight, or this morning, Lord, that you would bring into our hearts a spirit of repentance, that we might come and throw our heart and our mind and ourself and our heart and spirit upon the altar this morning and plead for your forgiveness and restore us, Lord, to that place that we might live because the greatest life on earth is connected to the great God of heaven. And we ask that you'd show yourself mighty in this invitation now in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. And as he begins to sing, listen, if you were sincere and I prayed for you and I had you raise your hand, would you come? If you were sincere, you come on this morning. Hey, the altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a place that we ought to come and lay our burdens down this morning. Hey, we have men at the front that'll show you, take your side and show you how to be saved. Oh, please don't waste this opportunity. Hey, we came to church this morning to take care of some business for God. Is that why you came? Did you come to take care of some business for the Lord this morning? Oh, it's the greatest life on earth, folks.
But it begins with Jesus Christ. It begins with forgiveness of sin. It begins with turning your life over to the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Oh, come on. Come on, this is a great opportunity this morning.
In the light of His glory and grace.
Come on, we're going to sing it through again. We're going to sing it through again.